want us to open our Bibles, please, to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. Ezekiel, chapter number 37, and I will start to read from verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Also, he said to me, prophesy to this breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Genesis chapter 1, I'll read from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let us pray. Eternal Father, thank you for another time in your presence. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity to behold your word again. The word in there is not mine. It's not any man's. It's yours, O Lord. Therefore, I ask this morning that you breathe upon your word and bring it alive to us again. Let the word, O God, make sense to us as we study together this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people to receive this engrafted word as it's going to be pronounced this morning. I ask upon myself for a fresh anointing, that you anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your word flow out of me like streams of living water. Make my tongue, Lord, to become like the pen of a ready writer. Think through my mind and speak through my mouth this morning. Let this word be of tremendous blessing to both the speaker and the hearer this day. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Reverse creation. Last week we started a series that I've titled Reverse Creation, and we just continue with that today. Now, you remember last week we talked about the fact that in the beginning God made man in his image and after his likeness. And we said that during reverse creation, the dispensation that we actually live now is that of reverse creation, such that rather than God making man, man is now making gods. And we went into details of the kind of gods that we make, even in the 21st century. Now, today I just want us to go a bit further, and I'm going to be teaching on a subject that I've titled, When Silence Isn't Golden. When Silence Isn't Golden. I'm sure you have heard of Silence is Golden, but I want to teach on when silence isn't golden. Now, it is said that an average man speaks for 1/5 of his entire lifetime. In other words, 20% of the time the man is talking. Okay? So, if the man has lived for 50 years, that means for 10 years he was talking, you know? And he said that on the average, the number of words that man speaks, if it was to be put into a print, it would fill 50 pages every day of books. And if for a year, the man would have spoken words that would fill 132 books, each one 200 pages. You know, that's a lot of words. And I know that some people speak loud much more than that, you know, so I've just given an estimate of an average. So we speak, we do speak. And even the so-called introverts, if you compare together the number of words that come out of their mouths on a day, you'll be amazed how much words we speak. All right. And that's great. That's good. We're just made in the image and the likeness of God because God speaks, men speak. Interestingly, man is about the only, in fact, man is the only being that speaks. You know? Yes, animals can understand some language when you tally it together with an action, but no animals actually speak, you know. I'm sure that if you had an animal or maybe a pet and you say, sit down there, and he said, where do I sit? You will run out of the house because animals are not expected to speak. Only man has that unique gift to speak. And that's because we were made in the image and in the likeness of God. Now, if I ask you to this morning, why do men speak? Why do we have that unique ability to be the only one speaking? I'm sure many of us will agree with me that it's just majorly for communication. But I want to submit to you on the platform of the Word of God that the reason why men are created to be a speaking being is much more than that. Communication, yes, but there is a higher platform. There is a higher reason why men speak. Why do men speak? We can only find that out from God. What is the purpose, the plan of God, the higher reason why God allows you and I to speak? The Bible is very clear about it. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the deep face of the deep. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering over it. And in verse 3, the Bible says, and God said, then God said, then God said. Creation did not start until God began to speak. Until God actually began to speak, creation was nowhere. The Bible says it was null and void. It was formless. Perhaps the essence of man speaking is to create, not just to communicate. And as God started in the book of Genesis, God started speaking and creation started coming together. In Genesis chapter 1 alone, the word then God said comes up 8 times. Then God said. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. Then God said. Genesis chapter 1 verse 6. Then God said. Genesis chapter 1 verse 9. Then God said verse 11. Then God said verse 14. Then God said verse 20. Then God said 24. Then God said verse 26. God kept speaking. And as he was speaking, things were coming together. Things were working. Now, in the beginning, God spoke. That was creation. In the reverse creation, man refuses to speak to create. At creation, God spoke to create. During reverse creation, unfortunately, man refused to speak to create. Unfortunately, we have relegated our speaking to just mere communication, and I call that an underutilization of divine privilege. Yes, we are created to speak, to communicate, but there is a higher realm of speaking to create. As God stepped into the matter, there was confusion, there was formlessness, there was voidity, and God started speaking, and things started happening. To give you a perspective of what God spoke forth, you need to realize that our world, the Bible says, our world was framed by the word of God. Because God kept speaking. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to our fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us by his son. He keeps speaking. Whom he has appointed heir of all glory, and by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So he did not just create by words, by speaking, he also holds things up by his words. So creation responds to the power of God as made available through his words. Now, To give you a perspective of what God spoke forth, it is said that Earth is just one of the planets in what we call the solar system. I'm sure many of us are probably familiar with that. The Earth is one of the planets around the solar system. Solar because it also has to do with the sun, you know. And the sun happened to be one of the stars in the galaxies. There are hundreds of billions of stars. Hundreds of billions of stars just in our galaxy. Now, to give you a perspective of what I'm talking about, the Earth is just the third in terms of distance from the sun. All right? And, of course, there are other planets, you know, Pluto, Venus, Mars, Mercury. Okay? Those are not the names of creams or those are the names of planets, actual real planets. Okay? And then in that planet, we have all these planetary bodies. And then that planet of ours is just a microcosm of the entire galaxy. We call it the Milky Way galaxy. Now, it is said that if you compress our planet, or rather, if you compress our solar system, not just the Earth, you put the Neptune, Pluto, Venus, Mercury, Mars, you put them all together, and you scale them such that they become like a ring in your palm. You know, you shrink them such that you become like a ring in your palm. Our galaxy is still going to be as big as the entire North America. Our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy that we are in, if we shrink our entire solar system such that in dimension it becomes like a ring, we're still submerged, as it were, in the galaxy that is still going to be as big as the entire North America. Right. And it will interest you that our galaxy is not the only one. They've given an estimate of hundreds of billions of galaxies. Can you see how tiny you are? You can't even be found, you know? That's why the Bible says, when I consider the works of your hands, Lord, the moon and the stars, the works that you have made, tell me, what is man that you are mindful of him? Because by the time they scale things down, and I was watching a video a few days ago, when they scaled down the entire planet, it was invisible. It was just like, it was not even a dot. You could not see it. That's how small it is in the galaxies that God has made. And like I said, the Milky Way galaxy, where we belong, is just one of the several hundreds of billions of galaxies that he has made. That gives you a perspective of how much he spoke at creation. And I was telling myself, I hope God did not have to speak to create each star, because that would take forever. Because even in just our galaxy, there are hundreds of billions of stars. And the Bible says he knows them by name, each one. But God kept speaking. And as he was speaking, things were working. Now, but when reverse creation set in was when sin came into the play, into the scene. Like I explained to you last week, when sin came into man, or when sin entered the situation, creation did not just stop. Creation started reversing in gear. There was a reverse gear, and creation started there was a degradation that started taking place as from that time. And unfortunately, it's still taking place till now. Such that reverse creation is supposed to make it good and beautiful. Like the Bible says, and it was good. And God saw it, and it was good. That was supposed to be creation. At reverse creation, when we go into the reverse gear, it will take us to verse 2, where we started from. And the heart was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that describes the way, the state of life of people that have embraced the reverse creation phenomenon in the way they deal with things in life. Now, what I'm saying this morning is that at creation, God spoke. During the reverse creation, man has refused to speak to create. Now, that is going to interest you because we are not just people that are released onto this planet to just communicate. Otherwise, there are other ways you can communicate without speaking. I hope you know. Virtually all the animals do communicate, and they don't have to speak a word. As a young boy, it's usually, I'm amazed by, you know, I study ants a lot, and I will sit down with them, and I will see, sometimes I actually make sure that, you know, I go after flies, you know, the usual house flies, and I will kill them, you know. I will mother the fly and the normal house flies, and I will just put it in a corner. And then you see the first ant, it will get there, it will try to pull the house fly, unable to do that, then it will go back. And before you know it, as he's going back, he's meeting other guys, and then it will, you know, they will just meet like kind of kiss. I don't know whether you observe what I'm talking about. And then the next thing you find out is there are tens and hundreds of them going to that direction. Some of them are already going this way before, but when they meet this guy that has just touched my house fly that is there, they will just turn back and start coming there. And I was amazed by that. That tells me that somehow they communicate. So if God had intended that it was just going to be by communication, maybe he would just have chosen not to give us the mouth to speak, because we will have communicated some other ways, maybe in a simpler way anyway, you know. But God gives us mouth to speak because he desires that creation continues. The first assignment that was given to the first man in the Garden of Eden is amazing. It was an assignment to speak. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, and he brought the animals that he has made to the man, and to find out what the man will call them. And the Bible says, whatsoever he called them, that was their name. Whatsoever he calls the animal, that remains its name. That sounds to me like a kind of creation, because he was bringing something out of nothing. This animal has got no name, and is coming to Adam, and Adam will say, look, you are elephant as from now on. And there is no question. The time that man starts to listen to creation was when the problem of man started. Because man was given the authority to speak to creation. You know, the Bible says, and God said, and God kept speaking. He spoke to the heart, you know. He spoke to the waters. He spoke to direct the firmament. And he gave us the authority to keep speaking. But the trouble of man started in Genesis chapter 3, when man started listening to creation. That's a reverse order. Man was created to speak to creation, to direct creation. And the Bible says, and then the serpent said, then the problem of man started. Because we started listening to creation rather than giving direction to creation. And exactly the same point we have today, because men and women in our generation are still listening to creation rather than speaking to direct the affairs of creation. And this morning, I want to take you on a journey into God's word to see how we can reclaim our position in God and begin to take our position as the one that speaks to creation, not the ones that listen or that hears creation. Because creation keeps speaking. As we speak, there are job situations, there are economic situations, there are family situations, there are relationship situations that are speaking to different kinds of men. And they are speaking different things, different languages. And unfortunately, we are receiving those information, we are processing them, and we are moving in the direction of the information that they are passing across to us. And that can only lead to one thing. Verse 2 of Genesis, null and void, formlessness, darkness upon the face of the deep. That's where reverse creation always takes men to. But the creation that God has given to us, or the ability to speak that God has given to us, is the ability to speak to create and not to listen to creation. We have read Ezekiel chapter 37, and I've taken us to that place because I think it's a good time for us to learn from God how to speak to create. What does it take to speak to create? I've always said this: if what you see is not what you want, then create what you desire. And that was exactly what God did. In verse 2, when God came into the scene, the Bible says the heart was without form, and it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But that was not what God wanted. And what was the next thing he started doing? He started speaking. So if what you have is not what you want, then start creating what you desire. And I just want to take us on this very short journey to learn what it means to create and how to go about creating. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and that was the passage we read in the first a short while ago, it appears to me like God was taking Ezekiel through what I refer to as creation 101. In other words, this is how to create. Let me teach you how to create. And he was going to be showing him exactly the details of what it means and what it entails to create. Because it's very important for us to understand that because we are made in the image and the likeness of God. You know, when God wanted to make creation, he started speaking to things. He started speaking to the water, started speaking to the heavens, started speaking to the firmament. When he was going to create animals, the Bible says he spoke to the heart. But when he wanted to create man, he spoke to himself. He didn't have to speak to creation or to the land the Bible says he spoke to himself. Let us make God in our image, after our likeness. Why? Because the thing that God is about to create was supposed to be a chip of his own block. It was supposed to be a part of him, an extension of God, so that we have the attributes of God. Somebody say, you mean you are God as in to be worshipped? Not exactly. We're not gods to be worshipped, but we have the attributes of God because we are made in his image after his likeness. And one of the things that emanates from his image is his ability to speak to create. His ability to speak to darkness and light come forth. That's his ability, that's his attribute. That's why he said in Psalm chapter 82, the Bible says, I've said, you are gods, all of you, children of the Most High. You are gods. And in the New Testament, Jesus repeated the same. He said, has he not said that you are gods? All of you, children of the Most High, you are gods. You are gods. All of you, children of the Most High. He said, but they are going to die as animals. Why? Because they don't appreciate that they are gods. They don't appreciate that they are a chip of me. They came out of me. So when we're talking about creation, we're talking about the ability to bring forth what never existed because you declare it, because you speak it forth. Because you say it, you speak it forth. Now, but I just really want to breeze through what makes you to form and to operate in that capacity. Because unfortunately, not all men can operate as creator in the sense that I've just described. Not all men can operate. In fact, let me take it a bit further. Not all Christians operate at this level. Not all born again, spirit-filled Christians operate at this level. But that is the level in the heart of God. And he shows it by bringing the man Ezekiel to this valley. In this valley, he showed him the vision of this valley that was filled with dead bones. It was, they were dead and they were dry, lifeless. God was going to teach the prophet the principle of creation, the principle of bringing something out of nothing, life out of death. That's what we're going to see now. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to talk about four things that we as New Testament believers need to understand to be able to operate in the pedestal of speaking to create. Don't forget where I started from. In the beginning, God spoke to create. During reverse creation, man refused to speak to create. In the beginning, God spoke to creation. During reverse creation, creation speaks to man. Unfortunately, many people respond to that. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 37, it shows us about three or four things that needs to be in place for us to operate at the pedestal of operation as a creator. The first thing he says, verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bone. The first thing you discover in that verse is that we're talking about the spirit of the Lord. There are four things, like I said, and I'm going to categorize them under this topic. Spirituality, sovereignty, speaking, and speaking again. The first thing that every man, every woman that desires to be an extension of the creative ability of God needs to understand is that you need to be spiritual. You do need to be spiritual. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. In the spirit of the Lord. Spirit-led people are the ones that have the ability to bring forth, to create. And, you know, Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as to spirituals, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Why? Because there are things you don't move in the spirit realm, or rather, there are things that don't move until you are spiritual. Somebody say, but I pray in tongues or I speak in the name of Jesus. That's good. But your spiritual capacity is what dictates what moves on your behalf. And that is why some people will speak and things will move, and others will say exactly the same words and nothing will happen. Because in the realm of the spirit, what dictates what moves is the status of the person that is speaking. Somebody says, but I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Beautiful. That's good. And that's the more reason why you should dig deep to be spiritual. Because the level of your spirituality will determine the extent of the things that will respond to your words when you speak them. And that's what brings a lot of frustration to people, because they say exactly what the Bible says they should say, and then they still don't get results. Why? Because you are not being filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit. You are not being moved by the Spirit. The place to start in creation, as creation 101, as I said, is to be able to be spiritual, to be spiritually minded, to be full of the Holy Spirit. And that was why, you know, the son of Sceva, they discovered that Paul was casting out demons. And they said, well, if you can cast it out, let's just listen to what he says. And they listened to what he was saying, and perhaps they wrote it down and memorized it, you know. And then in Acts chapter 17, they went into chasing the demons, and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They say exactly the same name. But of course, you know the result. The Bible says the demons pounced on the seven of them, dealt with them so that they ran out of the house naked. Why? Because they don't have the depth to say those things. They don't have the capacity to use that name. They don't have the spiritual clout, as it were, the spiritual strength to dictate and to make creations. And that's the problem of many New Testament believers. We know exactly what to say. In fact, we know how it should follow one after the other. But we don't have the depth. We don't have the spiritual clout. When we speak, what appears is a skeleton, somebody that is just barely living to survive. That's what they see in the realm of the spirit. And that's why no one responds to you, unfortunately. We know the right things to say, but we are not spiritual. We are not filled with the Spirit. Because the word of the Lord only takes effect when it is breathed out of the Spirit of the Lord. You know? So the first thing to take into cognizance and to walk after is how to become more spiritual. Unfortunately, many more people in our generation, unfortunately, are getting more carnal than spiritual. And that's the sad reality. People desire to walk in the ways and in the manner that God has said in his word, but we don't just want to dig deep to being spiritual, and so things don't work, things don't move. We speak and it does not appear as if anybody has spoken, because we don't have the clout, we don't have the depth, we don't have the spiritual capacity to make things work. So the first thing I want to say is become spiritual. You desire to make creation, you desire to create things, shed this lightweight thing and go into, you know, into heavyweight. Develop your spirit man. That's the place to start. We need to develop our spirit man such that when we appear and we speak words, those words carry weight. It carries weight in the realm of the spirit. You know, there are instances in my house when my daughters know exactly what I say to them. And one of them wants to play pranks on the other, and then he will knock the door while the door is shut, and he will say exactly what I normally say. Ore, come out, you know. Or Ore, I want to see you now. He will try and say exactly the words that I say. But as soon as she finishes, the other girl in the house will say, come on, get out. Why? Because she knows exactly that was not my voice. The other girl has spoken exactly what I would say, but not with my voice. The Bible says the angels of the Lord, they hearken to the voice of the word of God. Not just his word, the voice of his word. And how does his voice come? It comes through a developed spirit. When the spirit is developed, you don't just say those words. It comes with the voice of the word of God. And the Bible says it breaks cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. Why? Because it's coming from a spirit-filled man or woman. So the ability to create is first determined by how spiritual you are. So the challenge this morning, people of God, is become more spiritual. Become more spiritually minded. Mind the things of the spirit. Look for things that you can feed on that can increase your strength in the realm of the spirit. That's the way to start. The next thing, the man said to Jesus, and in verse 3, he says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. I love that response. I love it because it does not just show a man that is smart. It also shows a man that understands the way the things operate in the spirit realm. When he says, oh Lord God, you know. That's sovereignty. Oh Lord God, you know. You are sovereign. You can make it happen. You may decide not to make it happen. As people of God, we must come to a point where we recognize the sovereignty of God. And one of the things that is attached to the sovereignty of God is power. There is no way you talk about sovereignty without power. Power is what determines whether a person or a people or a country is sovereign or not. Australia, for instance, is a sovereign country. Why? Because it can operate, it can do and undo some things. A few weeks ago, we know that Australia as a nation, we desire that our people that are captured in Indonesia should be released. But we had to plead to their sovereignty, because in their sovereignty is the power to release, to do and undo. They can choose to do, and undo as a nation. And as Australia, as a country, we can determine what we do with the people that we have captured. Release them, not release them, roast them. Cook them. We can choose to. I'm just using those words. I know we don't cook people, but that's the way it is. It's sovereignty. The sovereignty comes with power. And as people of God, when we come face to face with situation, we must understand that we are dealing with a very powerful God. Now, because the situation we are about to confront is a very dark situation, very dark, very 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 disturbing, completely chaotic. But when we recognize not just that we are spiritual people, but we recognize that we are attached to a sovereign, powerful God, then it settles our mind. The Bible says to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. Why? Because there is life. There is life. All right? So when we recognize that sovereignty, our ability to challenge the status quo is improved. Because we know we're not standing on this alone. So we're not just going to be spiritual. We need to recognize our sovereignty, the sovereignty of our God in order to be able to create. Don't forget, we're talking about ability to create. Ability to create. Not to communicate. Ability to create. Now, so for instance, I remember the story of a young boy. A wise old man has just moved into this town and people have been to this man, and they people were kind of amazed by the kind of wisdom that was coming out of his mouth. You know, people will come with different troubles, different problems, and he was able to give them words to help them solve it. Now, this young boy heard about him, and he said, I'm going to test this man. I will see how wise he is. So this boy caught a bird and held the bird, put the bird in the pocket, but kept his hand in the pocket. With the bird still in there. And then he appeared in the house of this old wise man. And he said, old wise man, I have a question for you. And he said, go ahead. The wise man said, go ahead, my son. The bird is in my pocket now. I'm holding it. Is it alive or dead? Is this bird alive or dead? And the old man looked at him and he said, you know, whether it's alive or dead is in your hands. It's in your hand whether it's alive or dead. Now, the plan of the boy is this. The bird is actually alive. But as soon as the old man will say that the bird is alive, all he will just do is just squeeze life out of the bird and bring out a dead bird. That was the plan, okay? But when he saw this old man, the man said, it's in your hands. Whether he's alive or dead, you will determine whether he's alive or dead. Exactly the way it is, because the sovereign power of God determines the direction that things go. The situation we confront in our lives, we need to understand that we are not just going to connect to God with our spirituality. We need to understand that God that we're talking about is very, very sovereign. He's powerful. He is powerful. Many of us need to hear that again and again and again, that God is powerful. And that takes me to the next one, which is actually the crux of the matter. So we've talked about spirituality, the fact that you need to develop yourself spiritually and get away from carnal shadows of life. And I'm not going to go into details of that. By the grace of God, in the coming months, I'm going to be teaching on the spiritual man at some point. Okay? And then we talked about spirituality, we've talked about sovereignty. The next one is very important, and that's seen in verse 7. Or rather, from verse 5. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Verse 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The third thing to do is to speak the words. Like I said, the words that God has given to us, they are not just for communication, they are for creation. They have creative ability. Now, but we need to speak them forth. And that's the very important thing that we need to do under creation. You need to speak forth the word before they appear. No, God gave us that very vivid example. It did not just appear in the scene and think things through. The Bible says, and then he said, and then God said. So whatever you do not like in your life, whatever I don't like in my life, I have the responsibility to speak to it. And somebody will say, are you talking about praying about it? Not exactly. Not exactly. I'm not talking about praying about it. I'm talking about speaking to it. There are two different things. We pray about things, but as a being that have the creative ability, you need to speak to create it. You speak to it to create it. What does that mean? In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, from verse 22, the Bible says this about, it says, and whatsoever you desire, in verse 23, I believe, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But the preceding verse says this, and whoever shall say unto this mountain, you remember that passage of the scriptures? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not have a doubt in his heart, but shall believe that whatsoever he has said, he shall have whatsoever he has said. Now, Mark chapter 11, I just want us to read that and get a grasp of it. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask. You can see two different things in that passage of the scripture. Verse 23 is talking about you speaking to the problem. Verse 24 is talking to you praying about the problem. Now, the problem is many of us are stuck with praying about the problem. We don't speak to the problem. And you creating things has to do with your ability to speak to the problem. Somebody said, but I'm not a prophet, so why should I prophesy? You need to get this. You know, when the Bible says prophesy, just like it says in the passage we have read in Ezekiel chapter 37, prophesy has two components to it. Prophesy may mean foretelling. Foretelling means F-O-R-E, telling. Telling it before it happens. And prophesy also means forth-telling. Forth is spelled F-O-R-T-H, telling. Is that making any sense to anybody? Foretelling is you're saying that tomorrow you will get a car. I know some people like that kind of a prophecy, okay? Somebody will walk into your house and give you a car tomorrow, okay? That's a prophecy. That's foretelling. You're telling it before it happens. And may it happen like that, because if it doesn't happen, then we know you are not a prophet of God, okay? But there is also a component of prophecy we call forth-telling. Forth-telling is you are telling it forth. You have heard it said, and you are saying what you have heard said. Okay? So you are foretelling it. You are prophesying it. So the example we have seen here is a foretelling kind of prophecy. He said, prophesy. And then he had exactly what God said to him to prophesy to those bones. And then he said them, exactly as he has had them. The Bible says in the passage we have read, and he said, and I prophesied. So I prophesied as I was commanded. That's foretelling. That's a prophet. You're releasing prophetic words. Now, many more people in the church need to understand that things are waiting for you to speak to them and give them a direction. And you are still on your knees asking God to help you to deal with the matter. He is waiting on you to speak to the situation. You are waiting on him to deal with the situation. And that's the problem. Do I say you should not pray about things? Absolutely not. You should pray about things because where do you get the power from? It's not your own. You don't manufacture anything. But you need to step up the game and know that you need to speak to certain situations for them to conform to the heart, to what you saw in the heart. You know, the Bible says, and God said, and it was good. Why do you think that God said it was good? Now, because exactly what he sees, it tallies with what he conceived. So when he says it was good, it means, oh, exactly what I wanted, exactly what I saw in my heart. So when he was speaking forth those words, he was speaking forth those words with an understanding of what he had in mind. So when he said, let there be light, he had an idea of what the light should look like. And when the light came, he said it was good. Why? It tallied with what he conceived. Okay? Now, so whatever you speak forth needs to tally with what you have conceived. You know the problem with many believers? There is no conception. We don't even conceive anything. So we just come to the platform and begin to speak words with no conception. And that's why it does not work. And that's why it's very important for us. You know, the essence of our spirituality is to have the ability to conceive. When you're spiritual, you are creating a womb, as it were, glory to God, in the spirit. You are creating a womb that gives you the capacity to conceive the mind of God. So that when you stand at the scene and speak the word, you are not speaking from an empty hand, a heart. You're speaking from a heart that is full. That is full with the picture of the future. So you are speaking with an understanding of the way it should be. You're not just speaking the words because, and that's why, you know, when people talk about confession of faith, you know, the Bible says it clearly, and this is very clear. This is the principle of God's word. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. No one gets saved without passing through those things. You need to believe in your heart, and you need to confess with your mouth. Somebody cannot just appear and say, when did you get born again? 30 years ago. How did you get born again? I just believe. Did you actually confess? Did you speak to God? I'm sorry, I've been a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I'm sorry, I receive your forgiveness. There has to be a pronouncement of the conception that you have in your heart for it to work. Exactly the same principle. When you come into building and create, and that's why when you do that, what happens? The Bible says that is in Christ is a new creature. There is a creation that comes into being because there is a heart that believes, there is a mouth that confesses. Okay? Now, exactly the same way, when we are trusting God for things or for situation or for whatever circumstance that we find ourselves, there has to be a conception of the heart of God concerning the matter. And you conceive that because you're spiritual, you're connected with Him. But there has to be a pronouncement. You need to speak it forth. Jesus had been praying about the situation of Lazarus 4 days earlier. And he came into the place. He didn't just sit down and started looking and say, when is Lazarus coming out? The Bible says he went into that place and he said, what? Lazarus, come forth. You have to speak to the situation. Okay? And that is what is called prophecy. And prophecy means speaking forth. Somebody says, what am I going to say? What he said, filled with what he said in his word. What he said. You're just like, I don't want to use the word a parrot, because sometimes people use it in a derogatory manner, but you're just like the parrot. You're just listening and just saying it. What he said. Exactly what he said. And by the grace of God, that's why when we wake up in our house and we start the day, you know, say, God is my refuge. God is my strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. I will not fear, though the heart be removed, though the mountain be taken into the midst of the sea, though the water thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountain shake with the swelling thereof. We are aware, and that's what we say, because we are we, a family. We are aware that there is a river, the river of living water inside of us, the streams of which make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Lord Most High. God is in us. We shall not be moved. God will help us, and that he will do right early. The Lord of hosts is for us. The eternal God of Jacob is our refuge. Where did I find that? Not in the dictionary. It's in his word. Psalm 46. You know what I've just said? I've just said what I've just pronounced forth what I had him say to me in his word. People of God, there is a way to live good life. There is a way to live good life. I'm not talking about a life without any challenge. I'm talking about a life where you will be on top of things. This is the way. You need to create it. You conceive it because you are spiritual. You believe it because you are connected to the sovereign. You pronounce it because you are a God given the ability to create the situation. People of God, that's the way it works. That's exactly the way it works. So if your marriage situation is not the kind you want, you create one. If your job situation is not the kind you want, you create one. If your relationship is not the kind you want, you create one. Stop listening to creation. Stop listening to the market forces talking to you about the way your direction of life will take. You are the one that creates them. You create. So the ball is in your court today to begin to create. That's the direction of creation. Stop moving in the reverse creation, people of God. The reverse creation says creation tells you the market forces is not good, so therefore I have to be poor. And people are moving in that direction. You know? No, I create. I determine things. What's going on around here? You speak the word. You speak the word. Because the word is just filled with what he has said. You know, the Bible says, and Jesus looked for a place where it was written concerning him, and he spoke. The last thing that I'm going to talk about is speak again. You know, we've talked about spirituality, sovereignty, we've talked about speaking, and then speak again. You know, when this man prophesied, everything worked together, but there was no life in the bones. The flesh came together, the sinew, the ligaments, everything came together, but he was still dead. And the Bible says in that passage where we have read again, and he said, verse 39, and he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So he has made the prophecy, he has pronounced the prophecy the first time, but things are not still exactly what he wanted. So he spoke again. You know what I discover? I discovered that maybe God allowed creation to take that much time to teach us a lesson, that if it's not exactly what you want, you can speak again. And that's why it will come the following day and it will say something again. And it will create and it will come again and it will create again. So prophecy is not something you do once and you forget about it. Prophecy is something you do until you get the picture that you want. There is no life. So these guys are still an army, but they are dead army. They will still lose the battle even if it's fought with one single living person. So it's still not working. But the Bible says he prophesied again. And of course, you know the result. The Bible says there was an exceeding great army that came out of it. People of God, I want to challenge you today. Dig deep spiritually. Drop carnality. Come to the center where things happen, into the mainstream where things happen. Connect with the spiritual and begin to determine the way things work around you. You can wake up in the morning and prophesy into the day. You know, sometimes when we gather together on Sunday and I say, let's speak to the week, let's pray about the week and then speak to the week. You know, sometimes we say pray about the week and then speak to the week. People just think that we're just playing games. No, we're not playing games. It takes a spiritual man to know that you can order the day ahead of time. You know, you can actually order the day ahead of time. You can speak word of life into the situation ahead of time. And things are bound by covenant to work, to align. That's creation. That's creation. So when I go to work, I'm not bothered because I know I've aligned my day with favor. Okay? So I'm bound by covenant to walk into favor, to be baptized into favor. Why? Because I created it before I left the house. Don't wake up in the morning and say, shit, a shit day. No, you can't start your day that way. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Because you're calling it a shit day because the creation has given you a direction and you have agreed with it. We don't start our day with shit days. We start with, this is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we're glad in it. And we keep speaking the word. Just keep speaking the word. You are creating something. And the beauty of it is it may not appear today, it may not even appear tomorrow, but what you are creating is bound to appear at some point because you are part of the chief of God. The God is the block, and you have been given that mouth not to communicate people of God. You have been given that mouth to create. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for another day like this in your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging our heart to pursue something greater, something deeper in you. Lord, I just pray, oh Lord, for my brethren and myself this morning, that you fashion out a tongue for us, a tongue that only speaks your word, a tongue that connects with you as our maker to pronounce a great future. Lord, I ask, oh Lord, that you take us deeper into a relationship with you. Get us into the center of your will so that we're not just going to be spiritual, we understand that you are a great and a sovereign God and we'll speak forth the word of life to create a future for ourselves. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Lord, I just prophesy over your people this morning that the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord keep his face to shine upon you and give you peace on every side. As you go to this week, the hand of the Lord will be upon you, will order your steps and you direct your movement. You will not take any foot wrong, but the Spirit of the Lord will order your steps and speak to your heart. The Bible says you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That shall be your portion because you will hear God speak to you and directing your path. I pray you are covered by the power and the wisdom of God, and I declare you safe, completely protected from every assault of darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.